Sir.
Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. Objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
Silence a new tomb today. You know, there's a big debate out there constantly, every single day, about inequality, the evil of inequality. Inequality is destroying America, destroying the world. And, you know, usually they talk about wealth inequality or income inequality. Originally it was income inequality. And then there was this French economist about 2 years ago, Thomas Piketty, who introduced the idea of wealth inequality, and that's going to destroy the world, and income inequality is going to destroy the world. But now there's a new just read about in that magazine, a magazine I respect, and they have a lot of good articles, and they're forefront of the culture, so I pay attention to them. It's generally a leftist magazine, but that's why they're at the forefront of the culture, because the left dominates the culture. And they have a new term called total inequality. Total inequality. Total inequality refers to the sum, and I don't know exactly how they sum these things up, but total inequality would refer to the sum of the financial, psychological, and cultural disadvantages that come with poverty. Total inequality refers to the sum of financial, psychological, and cultural disadvantages that come with poverty. Now, there's no question that poverty is not good for you, that there are financial, psychological, cultural disadvantages that come from poverty. But what does that have to do with inequality? Isn't that have to do with poverty? You're listening to Yaron Brook Show, where we talk about stuff like this. And, of course, most of you know, I have come out with a new book that deals with exactly this issue. It's called Equal is Unfair. Equal is Unfair. You can get it pretty much anywhere, but you know, easiest is to go to Amazon and buy it on Amazon. And I recommend it. I think you'll be fascinated by it because it basically lays out the whole argument that Obama and the left have laid out in terms of why inequality is killing this country, is destroying this country. And we provide counter arguments to every single one of their arguments. And then we show what they're really after, what they're really about, which is not pretty, not pretty at all. So, if you want intellectual ammunition to fight the left, or if you've bought into the left's idea that inequality is destroying this country, then I recommend going out and picking up a copy of Equal is Unfair. You can get a hard copy. You can get a Kindle. It's on Audible. It's on every format known to man. And you've got no excuse not to get yourself a copy. It, if I do say so myself, it really is the only book written so far to debunk so much or all of the left's agenda around inequality. The left writes about 10 books a year about the evils of inequality, and nobody challenges them. I mean, there have been a handful of books here and there over the last few years that challenge one piece or another piece. This book, in a comprehensive way, challenges everything the left is presenting about inequality. But this new idea of total inequality, it's fascinating because they're saying, look, poor people are really disadvantaged. Poor people they don't have money, which is kind of the definition of poverty. They don't have money. And the psychology, this influences the psychology. Sure, when you don't have money and you're struggling, there's a psychological impact. I know this because, you know, I started out in this country. I came to this country with no money, started out with no money, and it impacts you. You worry about you're concerned about how you're going to feed your kids. You're concerned about you track every penny, at least if you're responsible. You track every penny and you try to make sure that you can survive from month to month. You can pay the rent. You can pay for food. You can do the things that are necessary in order to survive. And it can have a negative impact on your psychology, although with me it was the other way around. It made me ambitious. It made me want to figure out how to get out of it. And luckily for me, I was poor while I was a student, but I had two kids while I was a student getting my PhD. And the idea was, you know, this PhD is my ticket out of this situation, right? This PhD is how I get out of living from paycheck to paycheck. And of course, they have cultural disadvantages. We'll get to that. Cultural disadvantages as well. But yeah, we know poverty is disadvantaged. But what does that have to do with inequality? Now, this is important. Because by framing this as an inequality issue, you're implying that the problem is not with poverty. The problem is with relative poverty. The problem is with the rich. The problem is that the rich are somehow causing this problem. But that just is not the case. Bill Gates does not cause people to be poor. Quite the contrary. He gives them more tools in order to escape poverty. Sam Walton didn't cause people to be poor. Quite the contrary. By building Walmart, he enabled poor people to buy good products for cheaper, high-quality products for cheaper. Hedge fund managers, those evil bastards, according to everybody in our culture, don't cause poverty. They make markets more efficient. They make the allocation of capital more efficient, which is necessary for the creation of new jobs and innovation and new technologies, which ultimately help poor people. So it's not the case that poverty is caused by the wealthy, but that's the implication. So the problems that we have today, we might have problems today, put it this way, we might have problems today with poverty. And they are truly financial, psychological, and cultural problems that are associated with poverty. And we're going to talk about that. But what does that have to do with inequality? Inequality is just a gap. Inequality is the gap. The fact that you have inequality doesn't say that the poor are poorer than they would otherwise be. Right? So you could have cultures like the United States where you have very high levels of inequality, but the poor are doing fairly well from an historical context or relative to some other countries. And you could have other countries where everybody's pretty much equal, like Cuba, but everybody's poor. Now, what would you rather have? And the poor in Cuba are much, much poorer than the poor in America. So what would you rather have? You would rather have a society in which there are rich people, but they are poor people, but the poor are not that poor, or a society where everybody's the same and everybody's poor and everybody's much poorer. I don't get it. I don't get the relationship. And maybe it's just a problem with me and my ability to think. I doubt that. But the issue is not inequality. The issue is poverty. We have poverty. We might even have too much poverty. How do we solve that? Those are good questions. Why is it that it's so hard for poor people to rise up from poverty? Good question. Good question. But what does that have to do with inequality? Total inequality now. That's the new term. Total inequality, right? No explanation. No explanation. This whole article from The Atlantic gives no explanation of this. So they go on to say not having enough money changes the way people think about time. Absolutely. It's hard to prepare for the next decade when you're worried about making it to next Monday. That's right. That's why poor people save less. It's hard for them to save. And it's hard for them to think about the distant future because they're worried about the present. Absolutely right. Right? And they talk about marriage inequality. This is how we're getting to this obsession with inequality, marriage inequality. There's some household are married and they have two stable parents who have maybe both have jobs and they're coming out of poverty and they're doing okay. Other families are broken. Other families are broken, single mothers, single fathers. And, you know, marriage rates among educated people, couples are high. Marriage rates among uneducated people are low. And they call this marriage inequality. Why is this marriage inequality? Why is it somehow a problem that some people are doing okay? No, the gap, the difference between these are not the problem. The problem is that there are broken families, that there are too many single mothers, too many single fathers, that they tend to be uneducated and poor. And how do we deal, if there is any way to deal with that? Are we creating incentives for that to happen? Like welfare and others, that were we incentivizing this? But again, why talk about it in the language of inequality? Why not just talk about it in the language of there's a problem. There's a problem of people having kids without enough money to be able to support those kids and to be able to afford them a real future. So they say marriage inequality in one generation creates economic inequality in the next generation because those kids don't get the kind of quality education, quality attention that leads them to prosper. But that's not inequality. It's not about inequality. I keep repeating this. It's about poverty. It's about how do we get to the point where people who are born poor are not necessarily going to stay poor. And that has to do with marriage, maybe. It has to do with opportunity. How do we maximize opportunities in this economy and make those opportunities available to as many people as possible? We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Dylan. Here's a check of the roads on the inbound Ike slow at Ogden from Thorndale to the old post office 44. Outbound Ike's jamming at Pulaski through Des Plaines, old post office to Thorndale 40. On the inbound Edens, brake lights at Peterson, Lake Cook to Montrose 24. Outbound Edens, Montrose to Lake Cook 21. On the inbound Kennedy, heavy at the O'Hare extension through Canfield, then jamming up at Foster, O'Hare to downtown 36. Outbound Kennedy, slow at Belmont from downtown to O'Hare 33. Inbound Stevenson, slight hang up at Cicero, 355 to Lakeshore 38. Outbound Stevenson, jam from the Ryan to Cicero, Lakeshore to 355, 47. And the inbound Ryan, 95th to downtown 19. Tonight, 31 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 53 with rain. Currently, 35. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
The real Donald Trump wants to take legal action against women who've had abortions.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
He changed his position three different times.
He has given zero thought to these issues. He has no idea what he's talking about.
He cannot walk this back enough. He cannot do anything to repair the damage that he has caused.
I'd like to see at least a little effort made. Know something about that of which you speak.
Start your day with Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Running a business is tough these days. From a president who claimed it.
You didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
To the mountains and mountains of taxes and regulations here in Illinois. But many companies, big and small, have persevered, serving their customers and communities. If that's you and your business, then AM 560 The Answer wants to celebrate your success and tell your story. It's the AM 560 Business Tour 2016, presented by Signature Bank. This spring, Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson will be broadcasting live from businesses in Illinois with success stories of overcoming the odds and thriving in spite of the challenging business environment. If your company fits this description, then we want to know about it so we can consider broadcasting from your location. Tell us your story. Visit 560theanswer.com/business and submit your information. That's 560theanswer.com/business. Sponsored in part by Flex Execs Management Solutions. Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So as many of you know, I've written a book on inequality. On why inequality is irrelevant and why nobody should care about inequality, why indeed inequality is fair. And why is inequality fair? Inequality is fair because we're all different. And that's just a fact of nature. We are all different. We have different skills, different abilities. Some of us work harder than others. We grew up in a different environments. And you know, we bring different things to the table. And the fact that we're all different means that they're going to be different results. I mean, how could it be any other way? Every society in human history where you've allowed people to be free has resulted in some form of inequality. Some of us are talented artists, and then we have aesthetic inequality. I can't draw anything. My wife just draws beautifully. That's unequal. That's not fair. Some of us are born with incredible athletic ability, and we can play amazing basketball and dunk the ball. I can barely dribble, barely shoot, and certainly never even come close to dunking the ball. That's basketball or athletic inequality. Some of us are geniuses, and we're going to revolutionize the world. We're going to change the world as we know it, whether it's by writing a great novel and introducing a new philosophy like Ayn Rand, or by changing physics like Newton, or by changing, you know, the world of consumer products like Steve Jobs, or the world of computing like Bill Gates. Very few people are going to be like that. That's just the reality. We're unequal. So does it make sense for me to be treated the same as Michelangelo in art? Should it make sense for me to be treated the same as LeBron James in basketball? Does it make sense for me to be treated the same as Steve Jobs and Bill Gates when it comes to computing and things like that and wealth creation? Because that's what they're really good at. They're really good at wealth creation. I'm not. So how can it make sense for me to make as much money as they do? And what's the right amount? Should they be allowed to make, you know, you already got the problem, to make 100 times more than me, 1,000 times more than me, 1,000,000 times more than me? Who gets to decide that? Paul Krugman? Joseph Stiglitz? Thomas Piketty? Who gets to decide how much more you can have than I have? How much more basketball talent will allow you to exercise over me? How much more scientific talent you... I mean, the whole thing is absurd. We are different. Therefore, we are unequal. Therefore, that's just reality. That's fair. That's good. We get what we deserve. LeBron James gets a lot of money for playing basketball because he's good at it. I get zero for playing basketball because I'm terrible at it. That's justice. That's fairness. Indeed, equality is unfair. It would be unfair for me to be allowed to play professional basketball next to LeBron James. I mean, it would be absurd and ridiculous. It would be unfair for Steve Jobs to have his wealth taken away from him and given to me in the name of equality. That would be unfair. That would be evil. That would be wrong, unjust. So the whole inequality debate is to try to justify taking stuff, money, talent, time, ability from some people and giving it to others. And it drives me nuts. What you know, in a previous segment, we talked about the supposed marriage inequality. You know, some people are married and that tends to be a good thing. And other people are not married. And maybe they're uneducated and they're poor and they have lots of kids outside of marriage. And it's a bad thing for them because it makes it harder for them to cope. Children of low income, non-married couples are more likely to grow up without both parents, are more likely to experience family instability, and are less likely to go to college and less likely to earn above median wages. All that is true. But what has that got to do with the fact that some couples are happily married and everything goes smoothly for them? Why are we concerned about the difference between the two and not about the fact that some people are messing up their lives? And why are we afraid to say some people are messing up their lives? Hey, people, clean up your act. Stop having kids outside of marriage. Or stop having kids that you can't afford. And then, you know, I'm talking about this article where they talk about total inequality. It's not good enough to have income inequality or wealth inequality. Now we have to have total inequality. So we've talked about inequality as a cultural force. We've talked about inequality of marriage. We've talked about, you know, how inequality of wealth or income creates a different approaches to how you think about time. But it's not inequality. It's the fact that you're poor. And all of these things, it's a fact that you're not married and having lots of kids. And then they talk about, there's a story of geography and inequality. Geography and inequality. That's some places are becoming too expensive for people to live in, so they have to move. How is that related to inequality? It drives me nuts. You know, the number of jobs in some places, there's high unemployment. In other places, there's low unemployment. You know, and people need to move. Sure, people move all the time. We've, as human race, we've always moved. And yes, poor people can't afford to live in some cities. So, you know, we can discuss whether that's a problem or not, whether poor people can't live in some cities. But is that a problem of inequality? No. You know, and of course, there's an impact of where you grow up on how much you'll earn later on. There's some correlations there. Again, if you grow up in a poor neighborhood, it's harder to be successful. That's true. Let's try to make it easier for you to be successful. Let's try to make a world in which there are more opportunities for more people. More people, right? So this whole idea now of total inequality and what the author is saying, and this is revealing, right? Income inequality we can solve easily, the author says. We can just redistribute wealth. We can take Bill Gates's wealth and we can give it to people who don't have any. And we can keep doing that until we're happy with the level of equality, as evil as that may be. But what about these other inequalities? How do we solve them? You know, we can't redistribute culture. We can't redistribute marriage. Maybe we could take happily married couples and break them up so that everybody's equally miserable, at least. I don't know. Or maybe we can, I don't know what we can do. I don't know what we can do. How do you redistribute culture? So life sucks. That's the conclusion of the article, right? And they're saying we have to think in terms of this total inequality, you know, and we have to, income is just one thing that's easy to redistribute, but how do we redistribute other things? It says culture is harder to measure than money. That's why it might be even more important to study. Yeah, go ahead and study it. But what are you actually going to do about it? So this is the kind of the frustration that of the world we are living in right now, where people are coming up with these ridiculous ideas. They keep repeating those ideas over and over and over and over again. So every article you read about today tells you about the evil and problems of inequality. And the culture becomes convinced that this is a real problem. And then it's a problem that can't really be solved, people realize, because, again, we're unequal. That's just a fact. But we're unequal when we're free. So the only way to really solve it is to start reducing our freedom. But it's for a good cause, we're continuously told, because inequality is evil. And if we reduce some freedom, we reduce inequality, and therefore we reduce evil in the world. So it's okay to lose our freedoms. And let's constrain us here. Let's take away some stuff here. Let's reduce our freedoms over there, all in the name of reducing inequality, which means of making us all poorer. And now, with this idea of total inequality, the idea is to make us all poorer, not just when it comes to income, not just when it comes to wealth, but when it comes to culture, when it comes to talent, when it comes to basketball. I don't know. What is the limit? What is the limit of in what areas, in what parts of our lives they want to redistribute things in order to make us more equal? Now, there is a lot of legitimacy to thinking about, to studying, and to coming up with solutions that will enhance opportunities for people who are struggling, particularly people who are ambitious who are struggling. And we'll talk about that when we come back after this break. What can we do to increase opportunities for the poor that don't hamper the ability of the rich to become even richer. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. We'll be back right after this break.
The battle for the Republican nomination is racing towards the convention this summer in Cleveland.
Nobody is going to have enough delegates. We are going to go to a convention. It's going to be open.
Can Trump be stopped?
The only campaign that has beaten Donald Trump and the only campaign that can beat Donald Trump is this campaign.
Will there be a third party run?
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud.
What happens next?
We should make it pretty easily based on what I'm seeing.
Happens here.
So we won't have to worry about fighting at a convention.
This is AM 560. The answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. Bernie Sanders wins in Wyoming. The Vermont senator notching another victory in his bid for the Democratic presidential nod. Stumping in Manhattan, Sanders says he's got the momentum to beat Hillary Clinton in the April 19th New York primary.
Last few days, two out of the three national polls that have come out have us ahead of Secretary Clinton.
Sanders has won eight out of the last nine presidential primaries and caucuses, but he trails Clinton in the delegate count. Escapees from a mental health facility in Washington State are keeping authorities busy.
The Washington State Psychiatric Hospital, where two dangerous patients escaped this week, now confirms a third patient is missing. The hospital says the missing man failed to return from a group outing the same day Anthony Garver and Mark Alexander Adams escaped, spending a brief time on the run.
Fox's Will Carr, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Dylan. Here's a look at traffic. On the inbound, Ike, delays stacking up at Ogden into the burn. Thorndale to the old post office, 44. Outbound, Ike, slow at Pulaski through Des Plaines. Old post office to Thorndale, 40. Inbound, Eden, slow at Peterson. Lake Cook to Montrose, 24. Outbound, Edens, Montrose to Lake Cook, 21. On the inbound, Kennedy, brake lights from the O'Hare extension to Canfield, then slow from Foster through Montrose. O'Hare to downtown, 36. Outbound, Kennedy hanging up at Belmont from downtown to O'Hare, 33. On the inbound, Stevenson, slight hang up at Cicero, 355 to Lakeshore, 38. Outbound, Stevenson, delays from the Ryan to Cicero, Lakeshore Drive to 355, 47. Tonight, 31 with partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, 53 with rain and late snow showers. Currently, 35. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
When flipping houses, there's one golden rule: cash talks. I'm going to show you how you can easily get $10,000 plus all the cash you'll ever need for free. I'm Andrew Holmes, popular radio show host and founder of Chicago's number one flipping team. And I've flipped over 600 houses in Chicago right under your nose. And now I'm going to show you how. I'm holding a free seminar right here in the Chicagoland area where I'll give a select few the opportunity to use my funding to flip houses and net up to $40,000 per deal without spending a dime of your own money. You don't need good credit and you don't need any of your own money. If the deal is good, you'll get the funds. The first 100 people to call 844-MONEY-40 and register will receive my blueprint to real estate wealth system for free. All you have to do is find a great deal and pass it on to me and I'll give you $10,000. Time is running out. Seating is very limited. Call 844-MONEY-40. That's 844-MONEY-40.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
So what can we do about poverty? Is there anything to do about poverty? And should we care about poverty? And who is we? Who is we to do about poverty? You know, we hear all the time about the problems of inequality, but I'm telling you, there is no problem of inequality. And if you really want to dig deep into this, if you really want to understand this issue, you know, pick up my book, Equal is Unfair. Equal is Unfair. Any bookstore out there, suddenly Amazon has it. You can get it on a hard copy. You can get it on a Kindle. You can get it, you know, on an Audible, any format you want. It exists. So Equal is Unfair. You know, America's misguided fight against income inequality. We should not be fighting against inequality. Inequality is the natural state of free human beings. When we're free, we're unequal. If you fight inequality, what you're really fighting is freedom. What you're really fighting is freedom. So what about poverty? What about poverty? Is poverty worth fighting? Well, that depends. That depends. If we're not free, and we haven't been free for most of human history, when I mean free from coercion, free from force, free from being told and forced to do things we don't want to do. That's coercion. Coercion means when the government tells us what we can or cannot pay our employees. You know, coercion means when the government tells us, you know, what kind of businesses we can and cannot open. Coercion means when the government tells us who we can and cannot marry. And it doesn't have to be the government. It could be the tribe. It could be the tribal elders. It could be the witch doctor. It could be the Pope. It could be our spiritual leaders. But anybody who can force us to do things we do not want to do, that is coercion and that is bad. And when we have that, we have more equality. Inequality is when we have freedom. They go hand in hand. When we're left alone to pursue our own lives, to use our reason, our mind, in the pursuit of our own values, then we're unequal because some of us, we all have different talents, different abilities, different skills. We all pursue those talents and abilities and skills, and we're all free to pursue those talents, abilities, and skills. And the result is that we're unequal. As I mentioned before, I'm no Michelangelo. I'm pretty pathetic at drawing or painting or sculpture. My wife's brilliant at it. We're unequal. That's nature. That's reality. That's fact. That's fair. Freedom is fair. So if you ask me, what should we do about poverty? I would say freedom, more freedom. Now, does freedom eradicate poverty? Well, to some extent, it minimizes it. It reduces it to the minimum. Because think about it. Before we had freedom, before there was an America, before there was an industrial revolution, capitalism, which are all products of freedom, how many people were poor? Almost everybody was poor. Almost everybody was poor. Subsistence farmers, you grew the stuff you ate. Life sucked. You died, you know, life expectancy was 39, and in some cultures even less than that. And then we suddenly became free. There was an enlightenment. We discovered human beings' capacity to reason. We discovered that what's important is the individual, not the group, not the tribe, not the collective, but the individual. And we established political systems that allowed people to be free, to pursue their own lives, to pursue their own happiness. And as a consequence, people became richer. And what happened was we got inequality, because when you're free, again, you get inequality. But everybody got better. The percentage of poor people went from 90-plus percent to a very small percentage, particularly if you consider poverty as subsistence farming. By that standard, almost nobody in America today is poor. So our standards for poverty change. But then the number of people who are really, really poor changes is much smaller when we're free. And the ability of poor people to get much better, to improve their stake, becomes real. And what happens under freedom is some people who might be born rich but are lazy bums lose their money and they become poor. So there's mobility. There's people transition. So if we're worried about today, in the world we live in today, in America of today, in the United States of America today, of the fact that there seems to be less mobility, there seems to be fewer people who are born rich dropping into poverty, and there seem to be fewer poor people rising into the middle class and into becoming wealthy. If that is a real problem, and the statistics are ambiguous about whether it really is a problem, but let's say that is a problem, and I think it is. If you look out there into the world, it is. There could be so much more mobility. There should be so much more, wealth and income as a result of merit rather than other things. How do we get to a better place? How do we improve mobility? How do we improve meritocracy? Well, the only way to do that is to increase freedom, is in a sense to exacerbate inequality by increasing freedom, by allowing people to start whatever business they want, by allowing people to work for whatever wage they want, by taking away all the regulations and controls that tell us how to run our businesses and how to run our lives. What we need in this country to solve the problem of immobility and the problem of too much poverty is more freedom. You're listening to the Iran Brooks Show. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North States Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Dylan. Here's a look at traffic. Sox game just let out, so the outbound Stevenson's packed through Cicero. Lakeshore Drive to 355, about an hour. Inbound Stevenson's much better from 355 to Lakeshore 37. Delays on the inbound Edens beginning at Devon. Lake Cook to Montrose 26. Outbound Edens, Montrose to Lake Cook just 22. Inbound Kennedy, brake lights from the O'Hare extension to Canfield, then jamming up at Foster. O'Hare to downtown 35. Outbound Kennedy stacking up at Addison. In downtown to O'Hare 32. Inbound Ike slow at Manaheim, then again at Ashland. Thorndale to the old post office 42. Outbound Ike delays from Holman through Des Plaines, old post office to Thorndale 41. And the inbound Ryan 95th to downtown 23. Tonight 31 with partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow 53 with rain. Currently 35. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there's a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Raj Shah, host of Secure Retirement Radio.
I believe not only in protecting your retirement and making the growth going forward, but also having a tax-efficient retirement as well, because you want your retirement portfolios to generate an income stream that will last for your life, for your spouse's life, and if you have kids, that will pass on to the next generation as well.
Tune in for Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Sunday mornings at 7 here on AM 560, The Answer.
Mike Rowe here for 1 hour. Today, Chuck is jogging in place to make a point about energy efficiency.
I thought I was training for a marathon.
He's been at it now for...
3 minutes.
And already, he's wearing out.
I'm not.
Your heating and air conditioning systems are a lot like Chuck.
Warm, yet somehow cool.
Wheezing, wasting energy, and probably headed for replacement.
You're talking about the air systems, right?
Sure, pal. Sure. Call 1 hour before it's too late.
Can you do the disclaimer for me?
Each independent franchise is licensed in its respective state or county.
Thanks.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So we got real problems. The problem is not inequality, but there really is a problem of poverty, and there really is a problem of mobility. Those are real problems in America today. And as I've been articulating, the solution is more freedom. The solution is to allow anybody in California to shampoo hair without a license, to open a nail salon without a license. You don't need government. You shouldn't need government permission to be an entrepreneur. You shouldn't need government permission to sell your products on your property. You shouldn't need government permission to hire people at whatever wage you negotiate with them. As long as you're not using force against one another. The government has no business intervening in your life. And, you know, we've talked about the minimum wage before on this show, and the minimum wage is just one more example of holding poor people back. But this is the point, that the solution to poverty cannot be making somebody else suffer, making somebody else worse off. What we should be seeking in life, in political life, in our commercial life, in our love life, in our friendships, in everything in life, is creating win-win situations. What we don't want is to sacrifice one group for another group, one individual for another individual. What we don't want is lose-lose or lose-win or win-lose. We want win-win relationships. You don't make the poor better off. Not really. Not long-term. Not in a sustainable way, by penalizing people who are wealthy. When you penalize people who are wealthy, you just create less incentive for them to create wealth. You create less incentive for them to live amongst you. And when you give people money they haven't earned, you know, you destroy their capacity to have pride, to have self-esteem. They didn't earn it. But, you say, look at Sweden. Look at Denmark. They have high tax rates, and they redistribute a lot of money. Yeah, that's right. And I say that's unhealthy, even for Sweden and Denmark. And indeed, it's proven unhealthy in the past. Sweden was doing so much of this redistributing during the 1960s and 70s that they completely lost their way. They stopped making stuff. They stopped producing because they destroyed all the incentives to entrepreneurs. Businesses shut down, moved overseas. Wealth creation became very minimal. And Sweden was on the verge of bankruptcy in 1994. And even today, they still redistribute way more than I think anybody should redistribute. I actually believe the only rational level of redistributing wealth is zero. Zero. Because redistributing wealth is anti-freedom. And as you know, I'm for freedom. I'm for allowing people act, to pursue their own happiness, free of coercion, government coercion, their neighbor's coercion, their nephew's coercion, anybody's coercion. I don't know where that nephew came in, but anybody's coercion. Okay, so, you know, Sweden, Denmark, these are not model societies. They have vast social problems. They have a whole class of people who don't work or underwork or are not productive because they get a check. And yeah, they by measures of happiness, quote, and I put in quote the happiness, they're happy societies. Really? Really? You know, Swedes in Minnesota are happier than Swedes in Sweden. You know, all these happiness, I would be very, very dangerous. And very dangerous to assume that these happiness studies tell you anything about people's lives, actual lives. They are real problems today in Denmark and Sweden. Yeah, we live in America. We look at them and we think. But even if somehow you could tell me they are, I don't know, they're better off in Denmark and Sweden, I say we can make America even better than them. Even better than them. By stopping these constraints on our freedoms, on our liberties, by freeing up the American economy, by freeing up the poor, by by creating opportunities all over. And who creates opportunities? Entrepreneurs create opportunities. So if you really want a thriving society, if you really want to minimize, if you will, poverty, what you need to maximize are entrepreneurs. It is entrepreneurs, it is business people who create opportunities, who create the world around in which we live, who create the businesses that employ people, create the wealth that we all benefit from. And yeah, we benefit from their wealth. People talk about trickle-down economics. Trickle-down economics is wrong. It's not a trickle, it's a flood. When entrepreneurs do well, when business people do well, we all do well. Now, do well not through government favors. Do well because they create, because they make, because they have achieved. Do well through their merit. We all do well. Because when they do well, they are creating values. They are creating jobs. They are investing money so that other entrepreneurs can create jobs and create wealth and create values. Values, I mean, things like iPhones and things like, you know, stores and convenient places. I don't know, Whole Foods or TJ Maxx or anything like that. Those are all values to us. And if somebody's making a lot of money by coming up with those ideas that are making my life better, that's great. We need more of that. We need to encourage entrepreneurship among young people. We need to encourage entrepreneurship among poor people. We need to encourage risk-taking, deployment of capital. It's not trickle-down. It's a flood. When business does well in a free market, we all do well in a free market. You're listening to the Iran Brook Show. We'll be back right after this.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Rourke, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Rourke, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-467-1443. That's 1-800-467-1443. 1-800-467-1443. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So we've been talking about inequality, poverty, and the fact that there is no relationship between them. The inequality does not mean that there are more poor people. It does not mean that poor people don't have the ability to rise up. Quite the contrary. When you have equal societies, you have poor societies. When you have equal societies, there's less mobility, not more mobility. When you have equal societies, you have less freedom. And freedom is the important political value. There's nothing good about equality of outcome. Nothing. It requires taking from some on a massive scale and giving to others. How is that right? Bill Gates made what he made. He created it. It's his. I don't have a right to his stuff. You don't have a right to my stuff. I don't have a right to your stuff. The way to solve, or not solve, but the way to help people who are poor is to give them more freedom. And it's not about giving them. It's about recognizing that they should be free and creating a political system that recognizes that, that protects that freedom instead of inhibits that freedom. It's about creating opportunities. And the way to create opportunities is by freeing up the entrepreneur, by freeing up the businessman, which means by eliminating all the massive regulations we have in the economy. So I don't care about inequality. I think inequality is cool, is good, is a reflection of the real world. It's a reflection of reality, and it's the natural condition of human beings when they are free. I think equality is wrong, is evil, is bad. And you should all read my book, Equal is Unfair, America's Misguided Fight Against Income Inequality. Income inequality, who cares? Equal is unfair. I care. What I care about is that there are ambitious, poor kids out there who are never going to have an opportunity to rise up from poverty because of all the statist, all the government programs that have been put in the way to inhibit their ability to rise up from poverty, usually in the name of shrinking inequality. And I'm not going to repeat all the minimum wage, licensing laws, welfare, and the whole regulatory state. If we create a country, as this country used to be, this country was created this way, where people are free, where entrepreneurs are free to start their own business, where you are free to use your property as you see fit, as long as you're not hurting other people, committing fraud, hurting them physically, where people move to where the opportunities are because they're ambitious, where people are free to keep their own money. 60% of their wealth, of their income, is not just taken away from them, 50%, and then they're not taxed on every transaction they incur. If we recreate the American dream, which is a country of freedom, where we can dream and we can pursue an improvement in our standard of living, an improvement in our life constantly, then the issues of poverty go away. The issues of poverty go away. Not that there won't be any poverty, but that poverty will be poverty caused by, by bad luck maybe, and then we'll jump to help people by just poor decisions, and people will suffer from that and maybe improve their decisions. But the fact is that such a society would maximize opportunities and reduce the impact of poverty. And this idea of total poverty would be a bogus idea. So help me maximize freedom. You're listening to Yaron Brooks Show.
This has been the Yaron Brooks Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brooks. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses.